Well, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone out. Just a good day. We're going to talk about a lesson this morning that was assigned. It was referred to as the Servant Leader Lessons. And I take my text this morning from the 13th chapter of John, verses 6 through 10. And this is where Jesus washed the feet of the apostles. Never thought about this before, never studied about it, never realized really the implications that this had. But we're going to study about it a little bit this morning. This is not an easy lesson for me. But it's a good lesson. I think there's a lot of things here that we can learn. I think there's some good lessons. So we're going to study about when Jesus washed the feet of the apostles. It was Thursday night. It was in the upper room. It was in the city of Jerusalem. And they were all gathered together. The Last Supper had already been given here, and they were now eating their meal. All of the apostles were there. They were reclining around their table. They were visiting. They were talking, and they were eating their meal. But Jesus was not himself. Jesus was very quiet this day. He had a lot on his mind, and indeed Jesus did have a lot on his mind. Because within an hour or so, Judas would come in and kiss him. The Roman soldiers would come in and arrest him. They would feed him, they would torture him, they would torment him. They would carry him before Caiaphas, they would carry him before Herod, they would carry him before Pilate. And within 12 hours of where they said at this very time, Jesus would be hanging upon a cross to die. So he had a lot on his mind because he knew that everything that was going to happen was about to happen. So Jesus was not really himself at this time. He sits and he listens. And then as the apostles are eating, Jesus gets up, and he takes off his tunic or his big coat. He wraps a towel around his waist. He gets a basin of water. And he walks to the end of the table, and he kneels down in front of the apostles, one of the apostles. He takes his feet. He begins to wipe the dust off of the feet. He then puts the feet in the water, and he begins to wash the disciples' foot. He dries it off. He then gets up and goes to the next one, and following suit. And it was deathly quiet in the room at this time because every one of these men were in a total state of shock. The Master, the Messiah, the Son of God was washing their feet. And this was something that was against everything that they had ever been taught. This was work that only the lowest slave in the very lowest realm of society would do. And here was Jesus washing their feet. And it was quiet. And it was somber. And with the exception of one apostle, not one word was spoken. We're going to talk about the relevance of the washing of feet and what Jesus did this night and really what it means to us today. Let's go to our Heavenly Father's Word of Prayer. I guess there's a few examples that we could take from this, maybe a few lessons that we could look at on the surface here. A good boss is one that will never ask you to do anything that he would not do himself, and I think that's one of the lessons that we could take from this. Back when I was working with Jack Jones, we built a million miles worth of fence, and there's absolutely nothing glamorous about building fence. But some things that have to be done in a fence are unpleasant, and other things are more unpleasant. And I remember back when we were working, I would ask Jack, do you want to do the unpleasant job or the more unpleasant? And Jack had a straight answer that he always gave me. He said, it's all got to be done. So it really doesn't make any difference who does what or when. We're going to have to do every one of the jobs to get this job finished before we can ever get paid. And I kind of took that. It's a pretty good lesson to live by. It's pretty good. I think another lesson that we might learn from this on the surface is that we are all servants to all, and that we really shouldn't put ourselves in a position where we begin thinking that we are better than what we are, because we're all sinners, and we're all in about the same boat, and there's just not much good in any of humanity. And the Bible tells us there's just not but one good, and that is God himself. So maybe a little humility sometime would be good for each and every one of us. We're going to get back now to the story. And this is when Jesus washed the feet of the apostles, the disciples at this time. And it was something that caught them completely off guard because this is something that did not happen. Now, foot washing was a common courtesy in this day because in the first century, the roads were dirty. And as they built the roads, and they'd go across with a fine powder dust and put over the top so that the roads would be as smooth as possible to walk on or to ride their wagons on. And everyone used the roads. The horses used the roads, the cows the roads, the goats, the animals, people. Everyone walked on the roads. Most of the people wore sandals. And just a very short walk on a road would get your feet just covered with all sorts of nastiness and filth. They were dirty. So it was not odd to realize that when you walked on these old filthy roads and picked up the nastiness on these roads, it was going to get on your feet, it was going to get on your body. So it was common practice in the ancient world to provide water for any visitor that came into your house, to provide a basin of water and to provide a towel, so that the first thing you could do when you walked into their house was to take your sandals off, wash your feet, wash the filth off your feet, dry them off. This served two purposes. Not only did it clean the feet, but it kept the filth out of the house. So it was kind of a common practice at this time. In the early book of Genesis, there's four references to feet, and all four of these references refer to the washing of feet. It was a common courtesy. It was something you did. It was something that for any time you invited someone into your house, you had a basin there so that they might wash and clean up. And to not offer water was a breach of etiquette. And it was also kind of an act of unkindness. It was certainly an act of disrespect if you did not provide this service to your visitors. In Luke 7 and 36 through 50, we see this very thing very well demonstrated. A Pharisee, a religious leader at the time, a Jewish leader, possibly a man of wealth, a man of standing. But this man, Simon the Pharisee, invited Jesus to his house for a meal. And during this very pleasant meal in which this Pharisee is visiting with Jesus, a woman sees Jesus. And this woman walks into the house and falls prostrate before Jesus. She brought an ointment with her. She began to weeping, the Bible says, to wet his feet, to put this ointment upon his feet, and with her hair dry the feet of Jesus. And it was quite a spectacle. And it was something that Simon the Pharisee did not appreciate. He did not like. He could even have been scandalized about this shocking behavior of this woman. And also, he knew who and what this woman was. And it was a terrible thing. And he told Jesus, "Do you know who this woman is and what she does and the type of person that she is?" And Jesus rebuked Simon, and he rebuked him in a way that Simon understood it. He said, "Yes, I know who this woman is, and I know what she does." And said, "I came into your house, and you didn't even have the respect for me, the common courtesy for me to provide water to wipe my feet and to wash my feet. You didn't kiss my head. You didn't welcome me. You didn't do anything. You did the very bare minimum. You showed your disrespect for me in so many words. You gave me the minimum. And here this woman comes in, and she has not only washed my feet with her tears and poured this expensive ointment over it and wiped it with her hair, but she is done it in a way that shows the love and the care and the importance of Jesus Christ." Yes, this woman was a sinner. And according to the Bible, she was one that had a lot to be forgiven for. And Jesus forgave her of her many sins. But she was a sinner, and she knew it. And she came to Jesus with tears in her eyes and humility in her heart. And she performed this very lowest of all acts so that she might show Jesus what he meant. And Jesus forgave her for it. Simon didn't see himself as a sinner. He was a high-powered Pharisee. He was a man of the Jewish law. He didn't see that he had really much to be forgiven for. He certainly didn't feel that it was necessary that he provide the common courtesy of water for the feet, or the kiss to welcome him, or the oil to anoint his head, because these are things that you would do to people of a higher standard. He gave the minimum. She gave the maximum. She showed the love and respect that she had for Jesus through her actions. And he showed that he had total disregard for Jesus by his. Foot washing, though, was not something that was glamorous. It was the work of slaves. And under no circumstance, under zero circumstance, would the host ever wash a visitor's feet. It just didn't happen. It was just completely out of the ordinary. It was completely out of... People didn't even think about it. It simply did not happen. Now, if there was water placed there in the town, you had the authority or you had the responsibility, possibly, to take your sandals off, to wash your feet, to dry your feet, to clean yourself up before you go into the house. If you were a man of some high achievement, maybe pretty high in society, or maybe had some money in your pocket, it's possible that if the master of the house had servants, he would have that servant wash your feet. This was a pretty big deal here. Have someone wash your feet for you. There's never a circumstance in which the owner of the house or the master of the house would wash the filthy feet of his guest, because they're not going to stoop that low. They're not going to humble themselves to that position. This was something slaves did. It was not something that masters did. And it's, you think about it for a little while, it's pretty easy to understand why. Because feet are by definition, after they have walked these filthy roads, the filth on the road is now on the feet. And they're filthy and they're dirty and they stink and they're covered with all sorts of things that you don't want on your feet. Most people wore sandals, their feet was wide open, but even today when you wear work boots and socks, when you work all day long and your feet sweat, feet stink. They're nasty and they're dirty, and it's simply a fact that you have to deal with. And then when you add into this the fact that some feet have ingrown toenails and some feet have corns on them and some feet have other types of problems with the feet, you don't want to be in a position where you're washing dirty, nasty people's feet. But that's exactly the situation then, even as it is today. And that's why slaves did the work. That's why masters and homeowners didn't wash the people's filthy feet. They had slaves, and usually those of the lowest caste, that were given this job. I don't pay a lot of attention to my feet. My feet have not been washed or trimmed or cleaned since I was a baby and my mother did it. I don't want anybody messing with my feet. I don't even want to pay anybody to mess with my feet. They're my feet. They're personal. I don't want anybody messing with them. My wife likes to get pedicures, and that's fine. They can play with her feet, but I don't want anybody messing with my feet. And really don't even realize I got a problem with them until I got a hole in my sole and my feet get wet. Then I know it's time to put some more boots on those feet. But other than that, I pay very little attention to my feet. And if my feet aren't dirty, they don't need washing. So there's not a real problem with that. And it's somewhat embarrassing, it's somewhat humiliating when I think of somebody messing with my feet. I don't want it to happen. And I think these disciples felt the exact same way. Now the Apostle Peter, I suppose, felt a whole lot like I did, because he almost took some offense to it. But you know, feet represent the entire body. People that study the feet have said that there are nerve endings in the feet. And I've got a diagram at home of the different areas of the feet, where it's all of the nerves in the body end up in the feet. And these people that have studied this have said they can go to certain pressure points on the feet. And they've got pressure points that are nerves in the entire body. People that count these things say that an average person will walk the equivalent of 3 times around the earth. That's what the feet do. The foot is a very complex mechanism. Some 23 bones, 33 joints, over 100 muscles, and 100 tendons. And the foot represents the body. Because where your feet go, the rest of you goes as well. So the feet are very important. From personal experience, if my feet hurt, I hurt all over. If Vicky's feet are cold, she's cold all over. If my feet are dirty, I'm dirty all over. So the feet represent the body. They're a very complex and a very important part of the body. When we study this passage, though, we see the feet in a little different light. And we learn that maybe there's a little more to feet washing than just feet washing. Because I think that when we allow people to wash our feet, maybe it exposes more to us than simply washing the dirt off of the feet. The feet are a humble part of the body. Watching them touches us deeply and oftentimes has the ability to reveal the feelings that we have. And I think that's why Peter reacted so strongly when the Lord began to wash the disciples' feet. Nobody else said anything. They just allowed it to happen and they went on. But when the Lord got to Peter and got down and grabbed his feet, Peter rebelled. They say that the words you and my are kind of emphatic in this because Peter was put in shock. How can you, Lord, why would you, Lord, wash the feet of someone like me? And it violated everything that Peter knew. It violated everything that he had been taught. Masters didn't wash people's feet. And here was the Son of God that was picking up his feet and was ready to wash them. And Peter wasn't going to allow it. And the more Peter talks, the more confused he becomes. And in verse 6 of this chapter in John 13, Peter's shocked. And then in verse 8, he flatly refuses, Lord, you're not going to touch my feet. This is not going to happen. And then when Jesus explains the situation to him in verse 9, he's saying, you wash my feet, you wash my head, you give me a total bath if that's what you want to do, Lord. But what Peter is saying here was born out of ignorance. It was born out of a misunderstanding. It was born out of confusion. Because what Jesus is doing here made absolutely no sense to Peter whatsoever. In Greek, I understand from the study that what Peter said was when Jesus grabbed his foot, he said something like, you will never, ever wash my feet, not now, not ever, absolutely not, adamantly saying, Jesus, you're not going to touch my feet. It is not going to happen. And then Jesus calmly says, fine, but if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And, of course, then Peter said, well, then you just do what you want to do. You give me a bath. You wash me all over because I want to have a part with you. He didn't understand it. He didn't understand it when Jesus got through. But he knew that he wanted to be a disciple of Jesus and that he loved Jesus. And Jesus said, this is something that you're going to do. You know, we're given two examples here of feet washing. We're given the example of Peter. And Peter said, you do whatever you want to do, showing the love and respect and the kindness he felt toward Jesus. And then we've got Simon the Pharisee, totally indifferent, calloused indifference. He didn't love Jesus. He didn't love this woman that had humbled herself before Jesus. It was all about him. But Peter said, you do anything you want to do. The true heart of both Simon and Peter was discovered when Jesus began to wash their feet, their true feelings came out. You know, there's another thing about this meal that we need to talk about in just a minute because there's also something else that's a little bit off-center. The meal had already started when Jesus went around and began to wash their feet. This is not the way it worked. When they walk into the building, the water and the basin are there. You wash your feet first, then you go into the table, then you go to the dining area, then you eat your meal. They'd already gone through some of the procedures. They were already eating their meal. And all of a sudden, Jesus gets up and begins to wash their feet. They shouldn't have started the meal with dirty feet. They should have washed their feet before they started. Why did they start their meal with dirty feet? Why did they break this conventional type way of doing things? You know, Luke 22 and 24 kind of answers this for us, I believe, if we read it. After Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper and explained to them what it was about and the things that they were supposed to do, Jesus was just about out of time. I mean, anything he taught these men, he had to teach them right now. They had to understand it because he was, within an hour's time, he wasn't going to be able to teach anybody anymore. It was over. So he was trying to make them understand this Lord's Supper and the importance of it. But what were these men discussing? Well, it says that a dispute arose among them of which of them would be considered the greatest. Here Jesus is about to give his life's blood on the cross for these men and for every other individual in the world, for humanity. And they're sitting around discussing who's going to be number one, who's going to take care of us, who's going to be the boss when Jesus is no longer with us. They were so concerned about this that they forgot to do what they were supposed to do before they ate the meal. So the lesson that Jesus is teaching here, and one lesson that we can understand from this on a spiritual point, is that the master had to become the servant to all of these big shots, and us as big shots today, so we can understand just exactly who he really is and why he came to earth in the first place. Now, I'm going to talk to you about a couple of points here that I read, and I like that probably six or eight different things put this lesson together. And there's a lot of different things out there that people believe about foot washing, and not all of it is scriptural. A lot of it is stuff that's a lot of congregations, a lot of denominational religions, it's part of their worship service, and they wash each other's feet. And I don't think that's part of what Jesus is telling us. And I don't think that's what he's commanding here. I don't think that's what he's trying to teach us. But it has got to that extent in some denominations. Different levels of belief. And there's some controversy. And there's some different feelings. I'm going to kind of tell you what some of the things I've discovered. And kind of make up your own mind on this. Some say that the foot washing that Jesus gave to the disciples represented Christ's death upon the cross. I guess in some ways when you look at this, there may be some similarities. There may be some symbolism. And they say, they point to the verse when Jesus said that you do not realize now what I'm doing, as he spoke to Peter, but he said later you will understand. Some people say that the dirt on their feet represented the dirt that they carried on the inside, that the stain from the dusty roads mirrored the inner stain of sin, and nothing but water and nothing but Jesus Christ would be able to remove this sin problem. You know, there may be something to this, and I can see some of these points. I think we need to be careful how much importance we put on these teachings and where we take them, but I can see some symbolism there. I do know that it shows love. Definitely it showed love when Jesus did this, washed these disciples' feet. He showed them how much he cared for them. He showed humility, and I think humility is a good thing in all of us. It doesn't hurt us sometimes to humble ourselves. And it also gave them an example of what they were supposed to do as apostles. They went out into the world to train people and to teach people to accept Jesus Christ. Some say that the water that Jesus used from the blood that cleansed us from sin, I don't have much faith in that. It says that the washing itself might have had something to do in symbolism of the washing of regeneration. They give Titus 3 and 5 as a reference. May not. But Jesus did tell Paul Peter, said, if you don't let me do this, you're not going to have any part with me. So there may have been something more to this than what we're able to see. I know one point that we can take from this that is important and that we can put our faith in, and that is the fact that as long as Jesus is standing outside, that what he has done for the world in his death and the blood that he sacrificed means absolutely nothing to us. If we don't accept this blood, if we don't accept this sacrifice, if we do not follow the plan of salvation that Jesus gave us, then the sacrifice that Jesus made upon the cross is absolutely moot and of no effect to us at all. So it has no reason. So as long as we leave Christ on the outside, don't expect him to be on the inside. Christ was willing to lower himself. He was willing to lower himself to the position of the lowest slave. He was willing to even die to save mankind. And if we are to accept Christ, then it takes the same commitment for us. So the truth of the matter is that sinners come to Jesus dirty. And they come to Jesus unclean. They come to Jesus embarrassed by the sin that we cannot remove by ourselves. And until Christ died and shed his blood, and until we follow after the commandments that Jesus left for us in the plan of salvation, there is absolutely no way without Jesus and his sacrifice that we are able to save ourselves. He came to wash and cleanse men from their sins and death and from condemnation and hell. He came to cleanse men with his blood that they might be acceptable to God eternally. He came to cleanse men that they might be fit to serve God both now in this world and forever in the world to come. So what they say, coming to Christ is kind of like having him wash your feet. We cannot wash away our own sins. Christ had to do that for us. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Symbolically then, foot washing possibly can show our need for continual cleansing. We live in a dirty world. We live in a world of dirty feet. Jesus lived in a world of dirty feet. And even though we may try and keep our feet clean, we may try to live correctly, we may try to do what we have been told to do, the devil is a roaring lion and he's doing everything that he can to cause us to do wrong. And even though we try to do things that are right, we're going to make some mistakes. Sin is still with us. No matter how we try to stay clean, oftentimes we are dirtier than we want to be. Daily defilement, then, is what some people say that this is talking to. We were able to bring our sins to Jesus and obey the commandments and to be baptized with him, and all of those sins past were forgiven. Then we start day one of a new life. Now, this puts us in the family. We become part of the group, and we then have the authority and responsibility to pray to Jesus, to realize the sins that we commit, to confess those sins, and to ask to repent of these sins and ask for forgiveness of them. We have that right because we are now saints in the family. But just because we're baptized doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore, because sin is something that happens probably every day. So he speaks of this feet washing as kind of a regeneration, of being able to know what to do to keep the sin off of us and to get the sin off of us when we realize that we have sin, that we can have that sin removed, even as the washing of the feet that Jesus did. You know, we say things we're not supposed to. We do things that we shouldn't do, and oftentimes we don't do those things that we should do. We're not perfect. We're sinful. We always will be. Some people point to the fact that this is a regeneration, and that's why we need what Jesus offers. That's why these apostles needed to have their feet washed, because Jesus fits us for heaven, removing the guilt of sin, and then daily cleanses us from the sins that we commit when we call upon him. And through the death of Jesus Christ, everything that we need is now provided to us. The forgiveness of past when we became a member of the family, and then the ability to ask for forgiveness and to repent of the sins that we commit. We're not imaginary sinners. Sin is real, and people sin daily. And God does not save imaginary sinners. He saves those people that realize that they are sinners, just like that woman that came to Jesus and weepingly wiped his feet. She realized that she had some problems. She needed to be forgiven of them. And because of her attitude and the love that she showed for Jesus, he was able and willing to forgive her. Sin will separate us from God. And when this happens, we need to realize the depth of sin, and we need to realize how God views sin. And until we see the depth of our sin, I don't think we'll ever appreciate the sacrifice that Jesus made when he died upon the cross. Jesus was willing to stoop to the position of the lowest slave in the lowest system, the caste system of society, and wash the filthy feet of these apostles. He did it to show them how much he loved them. He showed it to give them an example. And he did this so that they would know that he was willing to do anything and everything that he was physically able to do, even to the point of dying on the cross for the sorriest bunch of people that have ever lived, that he was willing to do that to save their souls. We don't need to be ashamed if Jesus wants to wash our feet because he's trying to save our souls. I thought this was an interesting sermon. I don't know if we got anything out of it, but I think there's some good lessons here to learn, and appreciate you listening to this. Let's have a song of invitation now. We can help you in any way. Come forward as we say.